That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the Daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Mesechet Nida is Daf Chof Tet, and we are holding right at the top of the Daf, Yatsa Mechotach O Mesoras. So the Mishnah, and again we have to be Metaken the Girsa a little bit. Let's take a look back at the Mishnah, make sure that we remember what the case is. We have in the Mishnah, Yatsa Mechotach O Mesoras. If the Nefel is, if we're talking about a delivery in which the Evorim were broken up into pieces, or the delivery is feet first. So then the shiur that is required for Leida, to give it a din of Leida for all halachas, is a shiur of rov, mishi yetzei rubo, then areok yalud. We change that to read ach yetzei rubo. It's only going to be yalud when it's yetzei rubo. But if a child is yatzake darko, then mishi yatza rov rosho. The moment it's rov rosho, that's enough. And what is rov rosho? Mishi yetzei padachto, when the forehead comes out. Now, the question that is raised over here is, what is the status of the rosh where it's one organ among others? So we said if it's a head-first delivery, but we didn't say if it's a head-first delivery, even if it's mechutach. Not to mention the fact that it's not clear whether we're referring to a living delivery here. We're talking about a mesuras. That could be even a normal fetus. So what is the relationship of a head in a case where it's A, a nafel, and B, where it's mesuras? You could see that those may be two separate issues. So we start today with a machloket between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan. And the first lashon, which we're about to examine, has this machloket as a direct application to our Mishnah. So Rabbi Elazar says, well, you should know that our Mishnah is talking about where it's mechutach. Even if the rosh is imahen, it's not going to make any difference until you have rov. Because a head that is not part of an actual embryo is not considered to be a head. It's just another piece. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, when do we say that the need is for rov, that's dafka, where even if it's buchutach, lo shanu ela she'en harosh imahen, but if the rosh is among the first things to come out, the moment that the rosh comes out, hareo keyalud, it should say. Now, it would appear that the machloket between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan is essentially the machloket about whether we hold like Shmuel's psak about nefelim, even though Shmuel wasn't talking about mechutach, but let us assume it's the same idea. Now, Shmuel says, the Omer Shmuel, in harosh poter benefelim, that where you're talking about a nefel, in such a case, the head of a nefel is not considered to be meaningful in any way. So if you have one of our cases that we had before, where the nefel, the rosh is yotze, and then the other one comes out, the other one is considered to be a bechor lekor. Let's see, we'd have to have a case like that, where just the head was, obviously if the whole thing was yotze, it wouldn't matter. But in a case where just the head, then like the tour of the bechor, it would make the second one potter only if the first one was a living fetus. But if it's a nefel, one potter. That was Shmuel's statement. Says the Gemara, no, not necessarily. It may well be that if we're talking about an entire body, obviously not a living fetus or a viable fetus, but an entire body of a nefel, it may well be that everybody agrees that Shmuel is wrong. And that, in fact, the rosh would potter, because Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar only applied their machloket to our Mishnah, which was referring to mechutach. So over there, there's maybe no machloket if it would be an Efer Shalem. Keeply, we only find their machloket in conjunction with our Mishnah, which is referring to mechutach. The Marzovar, look, only Bishalem would we view the head as being Choshev, even though it's a Meifel, not much more. But even I agree that when it comes, B'mechutach, says Rabbi Elazar, what's a head? A head doesn't mean anything. A head is only a head when it's on the head of a body. If it's not a head of a body, it's meaningless. And therefore it's Loka Choshev. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, a head is always considered to be Choshev, even if it's Mechutach, and B'mechutach Nami Choshev, but totally against Shmuel. Now this supposed Lashon Acharon does not appear in the older versions of the Shas, for the obvious reason that it's a very simple thing that we took for granted, namely to prove that they both don't hold a Shmuel, which, fine. Okay, so we'll skip it. There are, however, those who learn that the Machloket Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan are not applying to the mission. Stop! They were arguing, but they didn't talk about the mission at all. In which case they were referring to no difference between Mechutach or Aguf Shalem. Because if they're referring to Mechutach, then it should have been applied specifically to the way the Mishnah addresses it. And in this version we find, Omar Rabbi Elazar, a general statement. A Rosh is not considered to be Kerov Evarim when it comes to a Nefel. I don't care whether it's Mechutach or not. Rabbi Yochanan says, the Rosh even in a Nefel is Kerov Evarim. And according to this version, they'd goof and be arguing in Shmuel. Is the Rosh Koshev by a Nefel or not? Tonight. Yatsa mechotako mesoraz, mi shi yatsa rubo, hareyu ki yalud. Now, in this case, since it says in the Mishnah, either mechotako or mesoraz, okay, what's the implication? That if it would have come out in a way that it was a mechotach, then ketikuno, that it was not misuras, because it's saying either or. So that means that the mechutach meant it came out in the right order. First head, and then so on. Because otherwise, what do you say? Oh, misuras? So in other words, the case of the mechutach could be, I don't care how. Or, if it was a whole body, then misuras. But if you're talking about a mechutach ketikuno, that means the head came first. And nonetheless, it says, only Mishi Yatzarubor is a Kayalud, which is exactly what Rabbi Elazar was saying. That a head is meaningless if it's coming out Mechutach. And that's a Kasha Rabbi Yochanan who holds that if the Rosh is Yibayim, then Mishi Yatzarubor Rosh Hareo Kayalud. Answers the Gemara, Omelach Rabbi Yochanan. You have to read the Mishnah differently. The Mishnah was saying Yatzar Mechutach Umesoras. It was broken up, and it came out not in the normal order. Wait a minute. I mean, the Mishnah says or. Va'okatani. No. The Mishnah is like this. Yatzam mechutach. Or, if it was shalem, and as a shalem, it was also mesoras. But the mesoras is going back on both. In other words, yatzam mechutach, and that's the big problem. Or, for that matter, even if it was shalem, and also came out mesoras, like the case of the mechutach. I don't care. In both of those cases, as long as there's no head first, it's Mishiyatzer Ruba. That's what it means. But not that the Mechutach was Ketikuno and the Mesuras is a different case. The Mesuras is both cases.
Shalem and Mesuras. What's
Shalem Mesuras means that it came out foot first. Breach delivery. So in both of these cases, Mishiyatzer Ruba, Ezekielu. That's how I read the Mishnah, says Rabbi Yochanan. Omer of Papa, the truth is that this is a machloket tana'im, because read the following right. Yatza mechotach o misoras, mi shi yatza rubo hareyu ki yalud. Rabbi Yossi Omer, now Rabbi Yossi's statement makes no sense. Rabbi Yossi says, mi shi yatza ketikuno. I mean, what does that supposed to mean? Obviously, he can't mean that a child is only metame if it comes out normally, but it's not a leda, even though it comes out complete. That's ridiculous. Nobody holds that. I mean, once there's a leda, there's a leda. Ultimately, if the whole thing comes out, there was a leda. So what in the world is he saying? Mike Omer. Omer of Papa Alkikama. The Tanakama is saying like this. If you read the Tanakama carefully, he's talking about if it was Yotze Mechutach and was also Misuras, right? So then, Rubo is what defines it, Ariel Kiyulut. But what's the Bashma'ut? That if it would be coming out not Misuras, it would be coming out to Ketikuno, Then the Tanakhama is saying, essentially like Rabbi Yochanan, that then the Rosh would patur. Rabbi Yossi says, no. The Rosh only patters if it's kitikuno. Mishiatzar rubo. If you would have rubo, then it would be kitikuno. Now the mashmaut is that he's saying that it's both of them. In other words, the mechutach would be rubo kitikuno, which, what is that supposed to mean? I mean, you can't really require both. Matkifor of Zvida. What are you saying? Rubo kitikuno. That even if it's the correct delivery, the Rosh wouldn't patter if it was an Eifa. But how do you read that, says Rizvid? Are you saying that if it was Misuras, because Bimadai, Rubo Kitikuno, but if it would not be Kitikuno, then even Rubo wouldn't help? That's what you would be saying. But that's impossible. You can't say this Lashon, because this Lashon has a ridiculous implication. The implication is, we do not say Rubo Kekulo. Why would we not say Rubo Kekulo? Are you saying that if it comes out as a breach delivery, that then even Rove isn't enough? So, because this is a very strange way to say that even when it's Kitikuno, he doesn't have fever. He's saying only if it's kitikuno, do we go about Sarubo? Now, I understand that he's coming to address the question of whether the head counts or not. But what he said was that only if it's kitikuno does Rubo work. But if it's not kitikuno, then even if it's a whole body, Rove wouldn't work. And that doesn't make sense. And that is because then you'd be saying that if it was Mitsurots, that Rove isn't even enough, and you would need the entire body to come out. Where do we hear such a thing? You're telling me Rubo Namilo Poter? I mean, we Kaimelon in all places that Rubo is Kekulo. How can you make up that this is one place where Rubo doesn't have a din of Kulo? I don't believe that. I say there's a much clearer way to translate this Machloket. That's beautiful. I say like this. The Tanakhama is saying that if it's Mechutah and Misuras, so then Mishi Atzar Rubo, then it's Kiyalut. The implications being that only because it was also mechutach, but had it not been mechutach, had it been a whole body, then the head would have indeed pottered. That's what you're saying. So that Dafka the Tanakhama would be the ones who were saying that the head is kosher. Comes along Rabbi Yosef to say, oh no. You need kitikuno, meaning not kitikuno as the opposite of misoras, but kitikuno is the opposite of a nafel. You need a working, viable fetus for the head to be choshev. Which means that he is essentially saying, like Shmuel. So mishi etze kitikuno lechayim, only if this thing is going to go and be a workable head. But if it would be in any, even if it would be a nefel, if it wasn't ketikuno l'chayim, then you would need rubo. And indeed, the Braita says, there's a Braita that says exactly that lashon, as Reb Zvid said, it must mean. Tanya nami hachi, that Reb Yossi was essentially going back and referring to the diak that he saw in the Tanakhama. That the diak in the Tanakhama was that if it comes out in the correct order, ketikuno, that then the Rosh would patur. Comes along Rabbi Yossi to say that is not true. It has to be dafka in the right order that the Rosh would be patur. And it has to be dafka the way that a normal head, a normal child would come out. But if it's mechutach, then even if it would come out in the right way, it would not be a Rosho Leda. It would only be a Rubo Leda. And Tanya Namihaki, Yatza Mechutach, Mesuras, the Diniz Mishi Yatza Rubo, Rezeki Alut, Ha Ketikuno, which was the very diuk that Rabbi Yossi was responding to, Alibi de Rabbi Zvid. Here the Braita says that diuk, so we can see clearly what Rabbi Yossi is responding to. Ha Ketikuno, Arosh Poter, says Rabbi Yossi, no siri, Mishi Yatza Ketikuno Lechayim, only if it was Yotze the way it normally would be Yotze in a full body as a living organism, would we say, that there would be a Rosho Pater. And what is that shear? When we say Rosh HaPatim, Ezel Kitikunol HaChayim, that the Rosh is enough, Mish Yatza Rov Rusha. And what is that? What defines Rov of the Rosh? Rabbi Yossi says, it means Mish Yatza Tzda'av, and the temples come out, the sides of the end of the skull by the ears. Rabbi Hanan, Mishon Rabbi Yoshomer, as our Mishnah, Mish Yatza Padakto, when the forehead comes out, that's already Rov. The Yeshomrim, you need even Sheyera'u Karnei Rosho. You need to have the place where you have what appears to be like little horns sticking up of the edge of the bone at the end of the skull where it connects to the neck. So it's like sticks out. Those are like horns. So we call them the corners. Karnei Rosho. Continue. Zokei Elik HaMishnah. Hamapelet, this was the idea that we've spoken about so many times. Hamapelet ve'in yadua mau teshev la zachal nekevav. She doesn't know the sex, so then she keeps the chumrah of the zachar that she only has the total of 40, but she has to keep the chumrah of the kevav. She has to subtract the first 14, not just the first 7. How about if she doesn't even know if it was a real child? En yadua im vladaya im la. And here she also be Yoshevet for a Nida. Omrev Yoshua ben Levi. A woman is going through a river of Ranahar. And as she's crossing the river, she has a miscarriage. And she's mapila into the river without any opportunity to examine the fetus. The law is that she brings a korban, and that you don't have to worry that since she didn't look, she doesn't know what she delivered. She brings a carbon, and that carbon is a vadai carbon later, it's not a suffix carbon later, and therefore she eats, it's eaten by the kohen, and there's no kshash that it's an availer because of malik. Why? Alech ha rov nashim, the rov nashim are vlad ma'aya yalb. You can follow the rov. Now, obviously, the Mishnah seems to ignore this completely. Ask the Gemara, what is Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi talking about? The Mishnah says, but Ferish, if she doesn't know if there was a Vlad or not, but according to Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi's Svara, the Rov Nashim that are pregnant have a real pregnancy. It's not a false pregnancy. So then why don't we simply say that we should go bust to the Rov? So let's see that inside. According to Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, why do we have to be chayshesh that she wasn't yoledet at all? He said, "Alecha charov nashim and rov nashim vlad ma'aya yalda." So, what's the Quran? What's the Mishnah saying? Answers the Gemara, "Matnitan." That our Mishnah is talking about b'shaloch zekah ubara, where it wasn't clear that she was mu'ubarak. She felt that she had a miscarriage. Which happens. But it's not as if she had been walking around with a big stomach that everybody saw she's mu'ubarak. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi said, Rov Nashim Ubrot, or Yodot, but that's only where Rufsiko mu'ubarak. But with an early pregnancy, where a woman feels that she's aborted something, oftentimes that something is not really a fetus. And therefore, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi wouldn't apply in that case. Ask the Gemara, okay, what about this, Tashma? In a similar case with a mammal, a non-human mammal. So you have an animal that was Yotze Mele'ah. She goes out in the morning, this animal, to the field. And she comes back, and she's pregnant in the morning, big stomach. Comes back without a stomach. The next fetus to be born is not a Bechor. But it's only a Suffolk, not a Bechor. Why only a Suffolk? According to Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, it should be a vada. We should say most pregnant mammals that abort a fetus, it's a real fetus. Therefore, it's vada, not a bechor. Why are you saying only mitzad a suffet? Aman halecha karov beimod and rov beimod vlad malya yalda. And therefore, you should say hi pashut. This is 100% a non bechor, an animal that is pashut and has no problem. If you're saying it's a suffix bechor, you have to wait till it gets a mum. You can't be nenet from it before. Afterwards, you don't have to give it to the kohen, but still, you have to treat it with as you would to the amukdashim. So, I mean, none of that makes any sense to the Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Says the Gemara, no. there is a different issue that needs to be taken into consideration over here. And that is, Amar Rav Hina, Mishum De'ikel Ameimar, you're right. You could say Rav Yehoshua ben Levi's thing of Rov Behemot, Ma'ad Ma'anya Yalda. That's true. So Rov Behemot De'yalda Dovar HaPotir Mi'abachora. But there's still a miyut, isn't there? Obviously. The miyutan or yoldot davar she'eno poter mibachorah. Okay, that's the first issue we're dealing with. Now let's talk about the second issue we're dealing with. There's another issue that doesn't apply to humans, and that is that the behemot that are yoldot, all are, first, we're going to change this gear so later, but right now we think it means all mammals that are shkayev and bechorah anyway, as opposed to humans. So all of the yoldot are mitamfot. There is a leakage of uterine fluid or vaginal fluid before the actual birth. So the day before, when this behema went out in the morning and it seemed to be perfectly normal, wasn't pre-delivery, it wasn't being mitamfot. And this animal, since it wasn't being mitanefet, idra laruba. There is a reason for us to believe that the rov is insufficient in this case of rov behemot, of yoldot of vladet patis from bechora, is no longer definitive. Therefore, we have to be chayish for the miut. Says the Gemara, but the way you said it makes no sense. You said kol hayoldot mitanfot as an absolute. And if that would be true, that kol ha'yodot mitanfot, so then an animal that's not mitanefet, it should be vaday ha'bechor, not safek ha'bechor. It should be the other way around. Sorry, I misstated that. Yeah, I mean, that really should say rov yodot mitanfot. Mm-hmm. Since most mammals, non-human mammals, will be mitanfot, hazoh ha'velotanfa itra lorub. Okay. So we now have no raya against Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. Now, when Rav came back from Eretz Yisrael, he brought a kasha on Rav Yehoshua ben Levi from Rav Yossi ben Rabbi Chanina. So Masiv Rav Yossi ben Rabbi Chanina Toa. Rav Yossi ben Rabbi Chanina asked on Rav Yehoshua ben Levi from the famous case of Toa, the Machlokes Shamayim Beit Hillel. And I gotta tell you, said Rav, I don't know what the heck he thought the question was. Lo yadana mighty yufta. I do not understand what the question was. Okay, but now we finally reach Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. Let us attempt to understand what that question was, according to Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, and why Ravin says, I don't even see an issue. There's no issue whatsoever. Let's try to figure that out. Mayi. First of all, what is the famous braita of Torah that he's asking for? The Tanya. Ishashi yatzta mele'ah uba are kanit. A woman left our Beit Din pregnant, came back months later, not pregnant. I was happy she had a baby. No. She's asking us to paskin her status, the Gabitum of Atira. The only way that we can paskin her status in the Beit Din is to take into consideration all of the possibilities, because we're not going to be semech on her clear remembrance of exactly what happened, when it happened, and to say that, look, whatever happened, this is what the Beis Din can tell you. So her husband wants to know, so when can I sleep with her? She's perhaps totally confused. So what happens is like this. The first 3 weeks, she doesn't see any dam. The next 10 weeks, she sees 1 week of bleeding every single day and 1 week of no bleeding at all. The din is that according to Beit Shammai, she has exactly 1 night to sleep with her husband during this entire time, and she has to go to the mikveh 95 times during this period. And according to Beit Hillel, no, it's nothing like that. She only has to go to the mikveh 35 times. Says Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, why does she have to go to the mikveh? I understand. Wait until it's all over, go to the mikveh, and then be back to normal again. Okay, now that machloket about how many, about whether you have to go to the mikveh multiple times or only one time, that's a simple machloket that we know, which is a machloket of whether tefillah bizmana is a mitzvah. In other words, is there an inyan to go to the mikveh even though lamaisa there's other sfeikas and you won't be able to become tahora and so on? But since this may be the day that you were ending your tumah, so you have to go to the mikveh because there's a mitzvah to go to the mikveh. Not because it'll be matire you. Okay, that's a question which we'll get to in other circumstances. That's not our main focus over here. Our main focus over here is how the heck this whole thing's worked. Okay? 95 times, 35 times. Why she's only muteris on the night of the 35th? Obviously, we are dealing with a lot of different sfeikot, right? So now, I understand, says the Gemara. First, let's figure out what's going on before we get to the question of what Robin was bringing the question, Lagabe, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, which is the only reason we're getting into this right now. I understand that Beit Din is going to tell her husband, well, you can't sleep with her this first week. Why? Because, look, as far as we're concerned, we know she was pregnant. We know she's currently not pregnant. So as far as we're concerned, right before walking into this courtroom, she aborted a male, fetus. Okay? In which case, this first week she's tumeah to you, because this would be perhaps her tumat leidah. So we have a sofek, she cannot sleep with you, because ema yoledet zachari. The second week, we're going to tell the same thing. I mean, maybe she had a female fetus. So that means there were 14 days of tumah. The third week, we have a bigger problem also, where we need to keep shivas nikiyim. Why? Because what is the worst possible event? The worst possible event is that she had had some bleeding during her pregnancy, which we gave a dam nidais to. Then she became tahora from her nidais. Starts 11 days, even though it's the middle of a pregnancy, in which any bleeding would have a din of zives. She bled for 3 days during those 11 days. She became a zava. She cannot be mitaharet from her zivas while she has the first 2 weeks of tumah, because the din is that you made tumah don't count towards shivas nikiyah. What? No, she's not pregnant. She's currently not pregnant. So now she is called, as we saw earlier, a yoledet bizov. She never was mitaharet from her ziva, and now she's coming to be mitaharet from her ziva. But her first 2 weeks, if she had an akeva, or misupit, maybe she had an akeva, do not count. So now starts the third week for shivas nikiyim, for her zivas. Obviously you can't sleep with her during her shivas nikiyim. Maybe she's a zava. And therefore you're going to have to give up this week too. Okay, but why the fourth week? That I don't understand. The fourth week, even if she's being roya dam, why could she not sleep with her husband? Even if we assume that she's a yoledet nekeva, this is clearly dam tara. So why can't she sleep with her husband even if she's bleeding? No picking. Lav mishum, there's only one answer. Because maybe she didn't have a baby at all. And that proves that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is wrong. The problem is that you may look like you're pregnant, but be pregnant with something that would not be matami yubileda. If it's a false pregnancy, and so on. So apparently we do not rely on the very clear rove that most people that are pregnant have babies. That's a raya that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is wrong. Oh. Huh, that's right. It does to be a raya. So why did Ravin say, I don't see any raya? So elamai lo yadanamai tiyufta. Oh, for God's sake, what's the matter with you? You're not even thinking straight. We don't know that she had a baby then. We're saying the worst possible case is that she had a baby the minute she walked into the vest and she aborted this fetus. But can I tell you that? Maybe she aborted her fetus 2 months ago. I don't know. So what, we're going to give her Yemei Toar when we don't know? What kind of crazy question is that? Obviously, Ema Yerchika Leidata. So maybe it's been a long time since she had this abortion, and now there's no Yemei Toar. This is silly. But anyway, once we bring it up, let's understand how the heck we get these other 95. Well, what is going on here? I mean, at least the next week, the fourth week, So we should say like this, Hak Shavua Rabi. I understand. Every single day, okay, she's gonna be a Zava, even if, whatever it is that the situation is, we're assuming the worst. But the fifth week she has no dam, right? So the fifth week, can't we allow her to sleep with her husband? No, what do you mean? The fourth week, we also were not sure what her bleeding was. Ko yuma v'yuma, every single day. Every single day, maybe the last day of her dam tohar and the beginning of her nidais. So that means that every single day she is now a suffix beginning nidais, right? Which means that the last day of the fourth week, the 28th day, she was the beginning of a nida. So then she's got 7 days, even though she's not bleeding at all. In the fifth week, she's got 7 days where she's going to be Tamei and Nida. So therefore, each day, Misapkinan Besof Leida Uvetchilat Nida, and the 28th day itself could be the beginning of her Nidot. And therefore, by Lametav Shiva Lenidata, she has to keep 7 days for the Nidot that just started. Okay, fine. I understand that. You're telling me that that may be the beginning. But I don't understand why it is that Be'esrim V'chad, on the 21st day, now the 21st day, she was still Torah, in the sense of not bleeding, right? Remember, the first 3 weeks there was no bleeding. We were examining the worst case scenario. Worst case scenario was she was Lioledet Nekiva Bezov, the day that she walked in here. Okay. It is now the last day of the Shivat Nekiyim, the 21st day. Because our worst case was that the Shivat Nekiyim started at the end of the 14th day. Now, the halacha is that on the last day of Shivat Nekiyim, if there's no problem of nitais, that you're really allowed to be semecha miktzat hayom kekulay. So that means the beginning of the day already defined her as not being a nita, not being a zava. She goes to the mikvah. Why can't she sleep with her husband during the day? After going to the mikvah. Oh, no, that because of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, you're not allowed to sleep with a woman on the seventh day of her Shivat Nekiyim, even if she goes to the mikvah. Because what happens if after you sleep with her, she's Roya Dam? Now she'll be retroactively in the middle of her Shivat Nekiyim. She was Soteret to Shivat Nekiyim. So you're going to rely on the fact that, well, right now she seems to be okay. I mean, since retroactively the world may change, you're not allowed to do that. Shema Tavali De Safek. So Rabbi Shimon says, this is a terrible thing to do. Okay, fine. So wait until the evening. Let her go to the mikvah tonight. No? What's wrong? And it's right, let her go to the mikvah in the day. Rabbi Shimon says, but don't sleep with her. Fine. Won't sleep with her. We'll wait till after Shkia, then I'll sleep with her. So why do I have to wait to the 35th day? Why can't I sleep with her tonight on the end of this last day of the Shivat Nekiyim? Now, even if she'd be Roy Adam, she would not be Soter at anything. It would be the beginning of Anidais. But she wasn't Roy Adam yet. Says the Gemara, theoretically, you're right. But since we're talking about another week of bleeding, so Mamela, we're not talking about, what are you going to fit in a chance to have intercourse? Maybe you did, but Lamaze, she was raw tabi ba'erev. She started bleeding that night. That was the beginning of her next week of bleeding. But theoretically, you're right. She could have slept with her husband then. Now, 95? Whoa, how do you get 95 tefillot? But bilino tatishima chamesh tefillot. Of course, it makes a great deal of sense. Why? Let's take a look at the first week that she comes. The first week, we said, we have to worry, maybe she is a Yoledet Zachar, correct? Okay. So if she was a Yoledet Zachar, we are Matbilinota Beleluta, so then every single night, we will take her to the mikveh at night, because each one of those nights, remember, we don't know when she had that boy. Obviously, it doesn't really mean a boy. We're saying, even if it was only a boy, which still, since Ema Yerchika Leidata, and as Tosis points out, it was absolutely naive to ask from this Braita anything on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, because the only way the Braita makes sense is with the continued chashash of we do not know when she had this baby. So to have asked this question just based on a casual reading of the beginning, she's Tanaya that week too? Why? Oh my gosh. Because it must be there's a suffix nida. I mean, for heaven's sakes, read the next line. There's no way of figuring out how to get 95 tefillot unless every day is a suffix because of the fact that we don't know when it started. So it was a naive question. Fine, okay, but he wanted to talk it out. Now, since we don't know when she had that baby, tonight may be the end of her 7 days of tumah. Since tefillah bizman mitzvah, put her into the mikveh tonight. Okay, fine. So that means every single night she has to go to the mikveh. I understand. The second week, Shavua Sheni, same thing. Maybe she had a nekeva. Obviously, the nekeva would have accounted for the first week also. So, but okay, we're saying even if you don't worry about it, we're trying to point out each element that is involved. So if she had a nekeva, we have no idea when she had a nekeva. Maybe she had a nekeva 8 days ago. So tonight's the night. Okay, fine. Wait until the end. What if it was 13 days ago? Oh, then we better do it tonight. And so on and so forth. So every single night we are cheshesh. Maybe she was a yoledet nekeva. But during the second week, we also have to put her into the mikveh in the daytime. Because suppose she had given birth to a zachar bizolf. And the first week didn't count, because the first week, I mean, that's the first we know about it. So we have to wait until we can be sure that she can start her Shivas Nekiyim. We can't allow her to start her Shivas Nekiyim during those first 7 days, because maybe she's still at the beginning of her Tumas Leida. Okay, but in the second week, if we say that she had a Zohar, and now is the beginning of her, the end of that, and the beginning of her Shivas Nekiyim. Okay, so now we're going to take it into consideration that every day might have been that day, right? So therefore, we're going to go and say, put her into the mikveh in the day, because if she was a yoledet zachar bizov, then it may be that the last day, the first day that she came was the last day, maybe the second day that she came was the last day. So every one of these days may be the end of her Shivas Nekiyim. So therefore, since at the end of Shivas Nekiyim, you go to the mikveh in the day, even though you're not allowed to sleep with your husband, because tefillah bizman mitzvah, and we don't want to miss an opportunity, maybe this is the chiyuv that the Torah wanted you to become Torah today, so go through the motions, so we'll also put her into the mikveh during the daytime, because she might have been in the yoledet nekeva bizov. Okay. Now, in the nighttime, Shavua Shlishi rather, Matulina like the Yamama, because maybe she was yoledet nekeva bizov, right? Well, it could have been a nekeva bizov from before, but we're talking it out. The first week, if it was a zachar bizov, she starts counting the second week after Shivas Yemei Tuna. If she was a yoledet nekeva bizov, she starts counting the third week. Okay, fine. So maybe she's yoledet nekeva bizov. Also good. But what about at night? Ah, at night, this works out, according to Beit Shammai, you'll also have to give her a chance to go to the mikveh. Why? Because Beit Shammai Shita is that a tfulat yom aroch bo'i tfila. We're going to see much later on that the halacha is that, remember that anybody who has a long time between the initial going to the mikveh and the closing of the equivalent of Harev Shemesh, that allows you to become Tahor, to bring Karbonot, that allows you to eat Kachin, is called the Tfilas Yom Aroch. So now, she went to the mikveh after her Leida on the seventh day, but she does not mit Taheret until the 40th day. Even though she's mit Taheret vis-a-vis Yichulin and vis-a-vis her husband, but she still can't bring her Karbonos until she's at the end of the 40th day. During that whole period, she has a din of a tful yom. Beit Shammai Shita is that when more than that day goes by, as a tful yom, normally a tful yom is the end of that same day, the tefillah. Beit Shammai Shita is every tful yom requires a new tefillah. So at the end of the 40th day, if it was a zohar, the end of the 80th day was a nekeva. If she's coming out to bring her carbon on the 81st day, she has to go to the mikveh. So she'd have to go to the mikveh that night. But of course, this may be every night. Every night may be the last night of Ritulas Yom Arov. So therefore, every single night, she's going to require tefillah. Okay? Says the Gemara, okay, even so, fine. You've now explained to me how we add it up. I understand. You said the first week we put her into the mikveh in the night. Okay, that's seven tefillahs. The second week, also every night, seven tefillahs. Then you said we also have to add, that's 14. We also have to add during the daytime because maybe it was zivas. Okay, so that's 21. The third week, we have to be matbil in the daytime. That's 28. And we have to be tevil in the nighttime because of the Beit Shammai's Chiddush of Tefillas Yom Arok. Okay, that's 35. Fine. Now, let me just figure out. So how many extra days do we have here? The maximum number of Yemei Tohar that we would have, 66 days, right? That's our maximum, because what's left after the first 2 weeks? 66 days to the 80th day. But that doesn't add 66 tefillot, because we already counted the first 7 tefillot during the third week that you've already counted in the original 35. So you already counted them, so we have to deduct that. So we're left with 59, right? Not 66. 66 minus 7, 59. Okay, so Dal Shavua Shlishi, subtract the 7 tefillot at night of the third week, where we already counted them, the Matbilinon law. What are we left with? Pashula, we're left with Shitin Nechichada, 60 minus 1. Plus we have 35 that we counted. Okay, can you add? How much is 59 and 35, gentlemen? 94. Why'd you say 95? It's 94. So that's Tishim Arbab. Where the heck did you come up with 95 tefillahs? You're out of your mind. I added it up and it comes up to 94 tefillahs. Omer of Yirmiyami Difti, well, you were assuming that she came in the daytime to court, but she didn't. She came Beinash Mashot at the first night. So it was already, we already had one night to give her that tefillah Belaila, because the suffix that it's the end of her. So we added that. Okay. So Kigon Shabbat Lefaneinu Beinash Mashot, so we gave her that one tefillah Yeterata. Now, according to Beit Hillel, who holds that a tefillat Yom Arokh doesn't require a tefillah, so then we're going to have to add up tomorrow where we come up with 35. But according to Beit Shammai, everything is great. We have exactly 95 tefillahs. We understand there's sfeikas. We don't need to say there was a suffix b'als nidais. We can follow Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Our only suffix is Shema Yerchika Leidata. And that way everything works out just fine. Yad samrech otachon masorah samrech belozorah filo aroshi b'ayim, it doesn't count. Because it's just cut up into pieces. Rabbi Yochanan ben Loshana ben Loshayna Roshimena, but Roshimena it still counts, and you don't need rov. Lema b'dishmul kam miflegit. The Omer Shmuel ein harosh koter ben afilim. No, actually, nobody agrees with Shmuel. So b'shalem kulei amalot pligit. That Shmuel's wrong. Ki pligit ben mefutach mar sava. Okay. B'shalem, the Rosh is choshev, but b'mechutach, look a choshev. Umar tzavar, even mechutach, nami choshev. Now, ike the matin law, as a shmait taba ben afshira wasn't addressing the Mishnah at all, and therefore wasn't referring to mechutach, in which case they indeed would be arguing about Shmuel. Omer Rabbi Elazar, in harosh kerov evarim, and Rabbi Yochanan Omer harosh kerov evarim, and they're arguing about nefelim b'dishmuel. Now, let's analyze our Mishnah tonight. Now, if he says misuras, the mashma'ut is that a mechutach, that wouldn't be misuras. In other words, the head would come out first, ketikuna. So it says mishiyatzaruba areza kiyolud, which is the kasha of Yochanan, who holds that the Rosh is chashim. Omlach Rabbi Yochanan, the Mishnah means mechutach, which was also misuras. Excuse me, but it says or misuras. No, 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 achikama. Yatza mechutach, meaning misuras. Or even shalem, and Misuras. Zevis and Misuras. The din is Mishiyatzah, Rubo, Arezi, Kiyolud. But if the head would come out first, Ketikuno, bang, it would be Kiyolud. Omer of Papa, the truth is this, Machlokish Tanoi. It says in the Brayta like this, Yatzah Mefutacho Misuras, Mishiyatzah, Rubo, Arezi, Kiyolud. Rabbi Yossi Omer, no way. It has to be Yatzah Ketikuno. Now, what the heck is that supposed to mean? I mean, surely not that a lady has to be ketikuno. Omrif Papa Okikama. Yatzam Bechutaku Musuras. The Tanakama says, Mishiyatzah Rubo Arehu Kiyalud. But if it would come out head first, then the Rosh would be poter. As Rabbi Yossi says, no! Mishiyatzah Rubo Ketikuno. Not Kiflar of Zid. What are you saying? The way you said it is mashma. That only if it was Rubo that was Misuras. So Bechlal, the Misuras, that was Ketikuno. Mashma, that if it wasn't Ketikuno and it was Misuras, it wouldn't even count if it was Rubo. Only Kulo. That's ridiculous. Hakaimel and Rubo Kekulo. Why would this be not Rubo Kekulo? Elam Rav Zvidal Kekoma. Yatza Mechutach U Misuras Mish Yatza Rubo Hareze Kiyalud. Mashmaut is, but if it had come out ketikuno, then enochinami the Rosh would pater. Rabbi Yossi says no. The Rosh only paters mishi yatzah ketikuno lechayim. Tanya nami achi yatzah mechutach misuras mishi etzei rubo areza kiyalud. But if it had come out in the right order, then the Rosh would be patering. Says Rabbi Yossi, no way. Only Mishiyatza Ketikuno L'chayim, a whole body, that's viable. That's the direction where the Rosh is kosher. Okay, what's the shear of Tikuno L'chayim that the Rosh patters? Mishiyatze Rov Rosho, meaning what? Is a Rov Rosho? Rabbi Yossi Omer, the temples. Mishiyatza Tzida'av. Abba Hanan Mishun Rabbi Yeshua says like our Mishnah, Mishiyatza Patachto, the forehead. And there's even a shita that says that so much of the head has to come out that you already saw the edges of the head where it connects to the skull, towards the top, the back of the head on top. Karnei Rosha. Hamapel et ve'in yadua mahu, teshev la zachar v'lan keva, in yadua, if it was even avlad in love, teshev la zachar v'lan keva v'lanida, because you can't get yemeitoa. On Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, a woman who's crossing a river and aborts something into the river. She brings a korban v'ne'echal. Why? Because you could be semich on the rov. Halecha harov nashim harov nashim v'lad ma'aya yalda. Wait a minute. It's not any doing Vlad Ayad, says in the Mishnah, Teshev Lazachan Lekeval Anadiyah. According to you, there's never a suffix. What do you mean? You don't know. You follow the Rov. Amai Teshev Lanidah. Just say Alecha Rov Nashim. Rov Nashim Vlad Malia Yalda. And she's Vlad Ayayoledet. Yeah. The Mishnah and that case is a different case. The Mishnah is talking about where we don't know that she was pregnant. So it often happens. A woman feels that she miscarried something. She goes to the bathroom and something weird happens. She has a miscarriage. She has no idea beforehand maybe that she was pregnant. She certainly wasn't visibly pregnant. Over there, there's no rove. Rabbi Yeshua was talking about she's pregnant. Most pregnant women have babies. But not, oh, I must have been pregnant because I miscarried. So therefore, we're talking about two different cases. Matnitin b'shalom z'kaobra, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, in the case of passing through the river, is talking about Rushal z'kaobra. Toshma, what about the Gabi b'choros, where it says, a behema that went out into the field in the morning with a big stomach, very noticeably pregnant, and returns without a stomach, rekanit. Then the din is that the next time she gets pregnant, and delivers, that is a b'chor mitzad ha-sofik yaftu yimachra. What's the sofik? According to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, she was definitely pregnant. She definitely aborted. She definitely is no longer a mivakeret. The next one should be a vaday poshet. Vamai? Halecha charav beimot, rov beinot vlad v'haya yoldan. And therefore the second child, 9 months later, is a poshet. On Ravina, no, because over there he got another problem, which you don't have by humans. You're right. And by a human, that would be all that we would need to take into consideration. but by a behema. There's another problem, which is kol ha'yodot mitamfot. Now this behema walked out in the morning without any tinuch. V'zohoya v'lo tinfa, we have strong reason to doubt the rov yitra l'aruba. Wait a minute. You're saying it's a rule? That kol ha'yodot mitamfot, so then you know that it wasn't a real vlad. So, because since it was a lo mitamfa, so on the contrary, you should now be absolutely certain that 9 months later it's definitely a b'chot. Sorry. I mean, rov yodot mitanfot. V'zo hoya v'lot yitra l'aruba. End of that problem. Next problem. Giyata Ravin from Eretz Yisrael. He says, I don't know why they made a big fuss about this in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, taina that the braita of Torah is a riot against Rabbi Yosef ben Levi. I got to tell you, I have no idea why. Lo yodana mai tiyufta. Mai, the taina. Ishashi at Stamalayahu Ba'arik Anit, Vivia Lefaneno, Shloshashuin Tori, Vasarashvuot, Echatame Vechataor, Mishameshet Loor Shloshim Vechamesh, and that's it. Matilinota, Tishim Vechamesh Tvilot, Divri Beit Shamai, Ubeit Elelomrim, Shloshim Vechamesh Tvilot. Rabbi Yossi Brebuda says, what's this? You guys are a bunch of chassidim. Diet Tvila Shitei Machrona. So Bishlama Shvu Arishon, I understand she can't be Mishamesh. Amar Yoledet Zachari. Shavua Sheni, she can't be Mishameshet. Maybe she's still in the middle of her Tumas Leda, and she was Yoledet Nekeva. The Shavua Shlishi, I also understand. Maybe she's Yoledet Nekeva Bezov, and now we're in the middle of her Shivas Nekiyan. But the Shavua Ravi, even if she's bleeding, she should be allowed to be Mishamesh B'Azvut. But she has to wait till the 35th night. That's Dam Tor. Must be because we're not sure that she had a baby. But according to Rabbi Yosef ben Levi, we should be sure. So you see from your law, it's in about the Aruba. Sounds like a good question. Oh, please. My law, Yadana, my Tiyuvta. Because obviously, Emer Hirchika Leidata, that's the whole point of the Braita, by the way, if you keep reading. Anyway, what about the fifth week? We're over there. She is Vadai Tor. Why can she not be Mishamesh? No, because the Shavua Ravi, we don't know what she is. Every single day. Don't we have to be misupak whether today was the first day of her nidot? Even the last day, the 28th day, might have been the beginning of her nidot. All right? So therefore, she has to wait those 7 days. And therefore, she gets to the 35th. After that, she can be Mishamesh, but she has to wait till the night time. Because if she's a nidot, she can only be Tovelet Belailah after the 7 days. That's the problem. But what about the 21st day? That should be okay. During the day, she should be able to be Mishamesh. You have to go into the mikvah in the day because Mikzat Ayom Kekulo. That's a different problem. That's going to leave it to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that she's not allowed to sleep with her husband because Shema Tavali Day Safek, because maybe she'll retroactively be a Zava. Okay, fine. But what about in the nighttime? Obviously, she didn't see Dam immediately at the beginning of the night because we add tonight's tefillah in the mikveh, according to Beit Shammai. And if she's already tamei, she's not going to go into the mikveh. So there must have been a few minutes since she go to the mikveh. So why doesn't she hop around with her husband during those few minutes? She doesn't have to wait until she goes to the mikveh to be with her husband anyway. So why not tishamesh right then? No, it's talking about that she started bleeding before she had a chance. Gerat Abaerf. Okay. All right, let's take a look at the number of tefillot. Matpilino ta tishim v'chamesh tefillot. Let's add them up. Shavua kama, every single night, matpilino ta, because maybe she was Yoledet Zachar, and today's the last day of that tumah. Shavua sheni, matpilino ta, because in every single night, maybe she's Yoledet Nekeva, and today is the last day. Plus, we have to add a tefillah every single day in the daytime, because maybe she was Yoledet Zachar Bezov and started counting her Shivas Nekiyim at one point during that first week or second week. And today is the end of those days. So she goes to the mikveh, because this may be the end of her Shivas Nekiyim. Fine. Shavua Shlishi, same thing, she has to be Tovelet in the day, because maybe she's the Yoledet Nekeva Bezov. I also understand why she would have to go to the mikveh at night, because Beit Shammai L'shitato holds that a Tevulat Yom Aroch requires Tefillah, and every single night may be the end of her Yomei Tovar, because we don't know when she gave birth. So that brings us up to 35. Then you're left with the remaining possible days of her Yomei Tovar, maximum of her days of Yemei Tohar was 66. But we already counted three of them in the first week, right? Because we started Bing Matpila just in case she had the baby right before she walked in. So we already counted those. So take off those seven. So Dal Shavu HaShlishi Dat Belinanu, what are you left with? 59. Okay. Add 59 to the 35 that we spoke about of the first 3 weeks. So now what? Well, I get 35 plus 59 equals, 94 having. So where the heck did you come up with 95? My avidatai. On Rabbi Yirmiyahu Difti, we'll have to say that the case is, kagon shabbat lefaneinu ben hashmashot, that we give her that first night to be tovelet as well. Di avidala, tvila yeterata. That was the daf from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi. Hold on, and you shall hear the same daf from the cycle 7.5 years ago, cycle number 11. Today's learning is dedicated to the Baker.
Chaim Yitzchok Kohen. Reveli Melech Ben Chaim Yitzchok Kohen.
Okay, we're holding today on Daf. The next piece of the Mishnah began. Yatsa mechuta o misuras. So we have the case of the Uber that comes out. The mashmaot is either mechuta or misuras. The din is that as soon as it's yotze ruboy, then it's considered to be yolud. If the Uber comes out ketikunai, it's a normal bird, then we go according to the Rosh. The question is, what would be the din of the Rosh in a case where it's mechutach? Do we read the Mishnah Yatzah mechutach or misuras as going according to Rosh, assuming, of course, that the Rosh was not part of that Rosh? Because then the Rosh would have been the first thing departed. Or is it that once the Uber is not in one piece, the rosh no longer has any value? That's the question. So, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Afilo HaRosh Imahen. Actually, if the Uber is cut up, then even if the rosh comes first, it still wouldn't matter, because the rosh is just a piece once there's no whole organism. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Lo Shana Ala She'in HaRosh Imahen. Aval HaRosh Imahen, it's Hareo Kiyalud. In the case where you do have a Rosh that comes out first, then even if it is Mechutach, it would be considered to be Yalud from that point on. And of course, this would be very Nogea La Locha. In the case where you have, let's say, Tuumim, you have another one, you have to determine which one is a Bechor, which one came out first. This one comes out in the middle of the parts of the Yevarim are coming out of the other twin. There's a lot of Nafkaminas that we can come up with. That's the most evident one. Says the Gemara, Lema b'dishmul kamizri. Shall we say that the Machlokis, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan, is basically the question of whether to go along with Shmuel's psak? The Yomar Shmuel ein harosh poter b'nefelim. Shmuel holds that it doesn't even matter over here if it's mechutach or not. The halacha is that where you have a nefel, and therefore it's not a living, viable organism, the rosh is no different than any other part of the body. So, okay, maybe this is basically Shmuel plus that we're arguing in. Does the rosh still have any significance when it comes to a nefel? Shmuel says, Ein HaRosh Poter B'Nefelim, and Rabbi Elazar apparently agrees with that. He says, the Rosh doesn't have any significance over here. The Mishnah said you need Rosh, and it means Rosh, even if there's a Rosh. Rabbi Yochanan, who says, no, if the Rosh is there, the Rosh Poter, he apparently would disagree with Shmuel, and he would say
that no, I don't think the Rosh is Potter Benefele. Says the Gemara, this is a misunderstanding. Bishalem the Kuleyama lo pligi. If this Vlad was whole, remember, the machlokas of Rebbe Lazar and Rebbe Yochanan, as we just described it, was a machlokas referring back to the Mishnah. The case in the Mishnah is Yatzah Mechutach. Mechutach is in pieces. To say that we find the machlokas in pieces as to whether a Rosh Pater's Benefele is all very nice, but it sure is not Shmuel. Because I would suggest that actually nobody agrees with Shmuel. He's off the wall as far as both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar is concerned. Because Shmuel says that a Rosh doesn't pater a Nafel even when the Nafel is born normally. Even when it's a normal, it's just a dead embryo. Nobody holds that. They were only arguing when what happened over here is that the Uber was cut up. So there comes along Rebbe Lazar to say, listen, I mean, since it's cut up, the Rosh doesn't have Hashivas. So over there, he pleaded, B'sholim Kulayama lo pleaded. If the embryo is whole, no one agrees with Shmuel, maybe. And actually the Rosh would pater, be considered to be Yalut. The entire argument between Rebbe Lazar and Rebbe Yochanan was only when the embryo was cut up. The Mar Sarva Bishalai Mudikachashim, Bimechutaklo Kachashim. That Rebbe Lazar is saying, look, generally I would disagree with Shmuel. I would say that a head is significant even in a dead fetus. But over here, if it's a cut up fetus, then a head is no significance at all, because it's not a Rosh any longer. It's basically a piece of meat. So I'm arguing and I'm saying that Bimechutak lo kachashiv, and Rabbi Yochanan is going all the way to the opposite extreme of Shmuel, and he's saying, not only do I disagree with him, and I maintain that a Rosh is important on a dead fetus, I hold that a Rosh is important even on a cut-up fetus. And when the Mishnah talks about the case of the Mechutach requiring Rosh, it's because it means that the head didn't come out in the beginning. But had the head come out in the beginning, before the whole robe came out, then in Ochinami the head would have done it. Ike de Masniva. Now, there's a whole other approach in which the Machlokas, Rebbe Lazar and Rebbe Yochanan, was not stated on the mission. You see, if you read it the way... a half an hour late? Huh? It's 8:30
already. The end of the year, what do you call it? 8:25.
Beginning of the year.
Now, others learn that this Machlokas, Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Yochanan, did not refer back to the Mishnah. See, if it refers back to the Mishnah, okay, then we have this out. Because we say, look, the truth is nobody holds a Shmuel, because we are talking about Mechutach, because that's the case in the Mishnah. However, if the Machlokas, Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Yochanan, exists on its own, and had no reference to the Mishnah, we would have no right to insist that they're arguing about Mechutach. I mean, they get up and they make a statement about the Rosh in a case of Nefelim. Why should we say they're talking about Mechutach? And then we're going to have to read the whole thing differently. So, there are others who have this as a separate, a self-standing machloket, in which Rabbi Elazar says, Ein harosh kirove varim, and Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the Rosh is kirove varim. Well, I mean, according to this version, obviously they're arguing in Shmuel. Is a Rosh important on an Eifel? There's no other way to understand the machlokas. Okay, but the way we had it originally was referring to the Mishnah. We had an alternative. Because they were talking about Mechutach, Shmuel was talking about whole. Okay. Now, let us examine that Mishnah again for hints as to what the halacha ought to be in this case that Rebbe Lozer and Rebbe Yochanan argued about, at least the first version of the case. It says in the Mishnah, Yatza Mechutach o Misuras, Mishi Yatza Rubo Arehu Ki Yalud. Now let's think about that for a moment. The Mishnah offers two possible cases. either cut up or breech, coming out feet first, which is the meaning of misuras, upside down. Now, doesn't that imply that the first part, which was mechutach, is not misuras? In other words, the case of the mechutach means the various pieces of the embryo are delivered the way they would have been delivered had it been one organism, except that Lamaisa, everything was detached because it wasn't one organism. But it is not an additional requirement that it be coming out in backwards order, the legs coming out first and so on. No, the head came out first, then the arms, and so on and so forth, right? In separate pieces. Oh, now wait a minute. Now that leads us to a problem, doesn't it? Because Minika Amar, oh, Mr. Rats, you're giving me another case, saying, or if it came out in late first. So then, Michlal de Michutach Ketikuno, then that's Mashma, that the first case that was given over here, in which it was coming out in pieces, meant even in pieces in the natural order of delivery, which would mean that the head came out first. And nonetheless, the Mishnah insists, what defines the birth? Mishiyatza rubo arezek yalud. And Rabbi Yochanan claims that if a head came out first, even in pieces, that the head is enough of a leida, and you don't require a roof. Now, how is Rabbi Yochanan going to understand the Mishnah? Is this clear, the question? The Mishnah gives two cases. If this abortion comes out either in pieces or feet first. Mashma that the in pieces means in the normal order, head first, except in pieces. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, head first doesn't require rove, and yet the Mishnah says head still requires rove. So you see that the Mishnah is insisting that actually a head is meaningless when you're delivering a broken up fetus. Not like Rabbi Yochanan. So how did Rabbi Yochanan learn the Mishnah? Omenachal Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, well, actually, the Mishnah has to be understood as referring to a case where it was Yotze Michutach in pieces and backwards. Umesuras. Well, Rabbi Yochanan would be very nice, except for the unfortunate fact that it says or. So, but Ha'on Katani. I mean, it does say or in the Mishnah. No. Let me explain my. I'm not trying to change anything. I'm saying, the point over here is look, it's saying Yotze Michutach. Or there is an or. Oh, shalem as a misuras. That's the point in the mission. It came out cut up. Or it came out only misuras is the problem, meaning that it's whole. It's just that it was misuras. But the other case was also misuras. In other words, the misuras is a reference to both cases. It came out in pieces. Or it came out, for that matter, even whole when it was misuras. That's how to understand the Mishnah. In both of those cases, rove is the determining factor, because in both of those cases, the head didn't come out in the first part. So what then defines it? The rove. But had, in fact, the head come out first, I still maintain that even if it would be mechutach and not misuras, then you would have not required a rove. You would have gone according to the head. That's perfectly reasonable. And the truth is, that's how you would have written it. If it came out in pieces, or by a breech delivery when it was whole, even. Of course, the breech is referring to both cases. Okay. So, O Shalem, Zem Zem Misuras, then Mishiyat Zaruba, Rezek Yalud. So this is where it works out fine according to me to the Mishnah. Omer of Papa, Rav Papa says, you know, the truth is that in a Brisa it appears that this is a subject of Machlokas between Tanoim, how to understand this, the way to read this Mishnah, whether it's the way Rav Yochanan just explained it to us, or whether it's the way we originally took it. Because the Brisa says like this, Yatzah Mechutach O Mesuras, Mishi Yatzah Rubo, Hareu Ki Alud. Fine, so far that doesn't tell us anything, I mean that's just the Mishnah. But what's interesting about this Brisa is that there's another Shita, which is Rav Yosef, and Rav Yossi says something that is extremely vague. And he says, well, I don't agree with that. I say, Mishi Yatza Ketikuno. What is that supposed to mean? My comment, what do you mean? When it came out properly. What do you mean? Omer of Papa. No, obviously he must have meant like this. And this is why I think that it's a machlokes Tanoim. Okay, come on. Saying the Tanakhama was saying Yatzah mechutach umisuras mishi yatzah rubo hareu ki yalud. Like Rabbi Yochanan read it. In other words, but if it would have been kitikuno, meaning it would have been a normal delivery, then no matter what, the Rosh would have been porter, if it would have come out in the order of a normal delivery. That's the way the Tanakhama is reading it. That's the way Rabbi Yochanan would have read it. Comes along Rabbi Yossi to say, now wait a minute, that's not quite true. It's, you need one additional condition over here. You need to also have Mishi Atza Rubo Kitikuno. If it's cut up, then you need to have a rove that comes out in the normal order. But if it comes out in pieces and it's coming out with no order, then you don't go according to the rove. Then you would wait until the entire thing was delivered. What do you mean? You get a foot, and then you get a hand, and then you get a torah. That's not considered to be a lena. We should go according to rov. Hold on a second. You're telling me that a rov, in other words, a rov is not enough? That's what you're saying. That if the fetus was delivered backwards, let's say, so then even a rov is not enough. That's what you're saying. How can you read it like that? Mesuras rubo nami lo pater. I mean, that's a klal kolotar kula rubo kakula. Where do you get now? Come off saying that Rabbi Yossi could possibly have added a requirement that even rove is insufficient. I mean, that mamish doesn't make any sense. Elom Rav Zvi, let me explain to you how to read the braisa. When Rabbi Yossi says it needs to be ketikuno, this is what he means. Okay, come on. The Tanakhama came and said, Yatzah mechutach umisuras. Mishi yatzah rubo hareze ki yalud. Ho ketikuno, it's the implications. The implications that Rabbi Yossi was referring to, not what was said. Let's think about the implications. He listens to the Tanakhama, and the Tanakhama said, well, if it came out either mechutach or misuras, fine. Okay, fine. Or both, but mechutach, okay? Then it's kiyolim. By implication, had it come out normally, then the Rosh would have pattered. Oh, says Rabbi Yossi, I disagree. The only time that the Rosh would have pattered is davka if it was mishiyatzah ketikuno l'chayim. It's only if it was coming out ketikuno, but not mechutach, but ketikuno the way it would have been in a living organism, then the Rosh is meaningful. But if it comes out mechutach, the Rosh is not meaningful. This is why we now have a machlokas, essentially. I'll leave the original way we looked at it. Rabbi Yossi is saying a Rosh is unimportant if it's mechutach. It's only if it's all one organism that a Rosh is important. And the Tanakhama says, no, if it would have come out ketikuno, the Rosh would have been important even in mechutach. And that's the original machlokas that we had in the first version of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. And this is now the Ketanoi. Veizel Rov Rosho. Now when you say Rov Rosho, can you define it better? Rabbi Yossi Omer Mishietzu Tzida'av. When the temples have come out, that's considered to be the Leidas HaRosh. Abba Hanan Mishom Rabbi Yeshu Omer Mishietze Padakto. Once the forehead comes out, you have the Rov. V'yeshomrim Mishiyera'u Karnei Rosho. And others say that it's only when the horns of the head come out. We're talking about Jews here. Sort of. Yeah. So as soon as the horns come out, you know, the carnero show is actually the reference to the back of the neck, where you have that, what looks like horns coming up to join the skull to the neck, you know, where you bend down, so you have these two pieces sticking out. In other words, the back of the neck, according to this, that continues up here, right, it's like horns that stick out, that's the back of the neck, and you have to have that delivered in order for it to be the delivery of the Rosh.
With the Heilige Mishnah,
Hamapelet ve'en yadua mahu teshev la zachar v'chiva. If a woman knows that she definitely had a miscarriage, but she couldn't figure out if it's male or female, then the halacha is we give her the chumrah on both ends. We have to make her tamea for 14 days, because maybe it was a female, and we can only allow her 26 days of tahira after that, because maybe it was male, and you only have until the 40th day to be tahor. So she gets a total of 40 days, 26 tahor days, and 14 tamei days. Because how can we allow her to get all the 80 days of the nekeva? Maybe there was no nekeva. How about if she didn't even know if it was a vlad? Any adua im vladu? She doesn't know whether she miscarried a fetus or just she had some kind of strange discharge. So there teshev la zachar v'la nekeva v'la nida. There, since she doesn't know that she had a birth at all, any bleeding would have to be regular nidos bleeding. We can't give her any kula whatsoever by calling her a yoledes. She gets no yimei toar. And of course, as we pointed out yesterday, that leaves us in a quandary as to what the meaning is teshev la zachar. There's no la zachar. Because the only point of the la zachar was to give her the minimal yimei toar. If she's now going to be yosheves as a nida, she gets no yimei toar. Therefore, the whole thing really doesn't make sense. Leave out the zachar. Just say, teshev la nekevav la nadida. The Gemara is going to explain what the significance is of the zachar. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Avra nahar v'yipila. Now this was the case we had before. A woman passing through water. And she miscarries in the water. Therefore she has no idea what it was that came out. She's meviyah korban v'nechal. You don't have to worry that maybe there was no leida at all here. She brings a korban. The carbon is eaten as a carbon yoledes for sure, because halech achar rov nashim v'rov nashim v'lad ma'al yoyoda. Therefore, she's a vada yoledes, and there's nothing to worry about. Now, how does that fit in with the Mishnah? The Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah says, Ein yadua im vlad hayayim lav. If she doesn't know, well, that's the case where she went through the water, she doesn't know what came out, and we said in the Mishnah, you have to be machmer on her, that maybe she's not a yoledes, and that therefore she should be yosheves as a nida. Now how could Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi claim that she's vadai a yoledes, and that we eat the korban? Explain the Mishnah to me. It's not. Ein yadua im vlad hayat eshev lazachav lenakivav lenida. I don't understand. According to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, amai teshev lenida. Why in the world does she have to worry about being a nida? We should say, well, there's a rove that women that are pregnant that miscarried some fetus of some kind. So lema alecha harov nashim v'rov nashim vlad ma'al yoyoda. Says Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, it's very, very simple, my dear friends. The Mishnah is talking about where she didn't even know she was pregnant. I mean, it wasn't that she was clearly pregnant. You know, she feels something, some kind of discharge. Thought maybe she might be pregnant. I mean, it's not that she was showing or anything like that. Over there, there's no longer a row. Once the woman has been mukzeket, she missed one period or something. She's not mukzeket, but she's pregnant. She's already 3 months into her pregnancy. She's clearly pregnant. And then she miscarries. Oh, now we have a rove. We're certainly not going to say every time a woman thinks she might have been pregnant and miscarried something that she really miscarried. Maybe it was in fact some ruach or whatever. And now she has to sit as a nida, and therefore you weren't allowed to eat her karma. They're two completely different cases. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi? Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi was talking about Kishul Zekaubra. Well, we know already that she's pregnant. Now, what about a similar case? I mean, we certainly, as we've seen all through, we apply all of the dinim to all mammals, right? And that was once we have, certainly to large mammals. So we have the same situation of the behema. A behema goes out in the morning to the field to graze, and it was clearly pregnant. It comes back that night, and it's not pregnant. So it was yatsa malaya uba'are kanit. The din is, the next birth is still a suffik bechor. Now, according to Rav Yeshua ben Levi, we should say, look, if you're ready to say that a human is going to be a rov, you should say the same thing about an animal. If it was already clearly pregnant and it comes back and it's no longer pregnant, obviously something happened and it miscarried, and that miscarriage was a petarechem, and the next one to be born is not a bechor, definitely not a bechor. My halik hakarov beimot. Rov beimot v'lai ba'aya yolda v'hai pashutu. And therefore, this second animal now that is born in the next year is definitely no bechor. Ravina says, Ravina, it's different. But you see, it's not true that all mammals are the same. Because, look, Mishodikul Meimah Rov Beimot Yodot Davara Poter Mia Bechora. You say like this. It's basically two questions. You're right that most animals that miscarry something, it's going to potter the next animal from the Bechora. That's true. However, there's certainly a miut, let's say 10%, whatever, but there's a miut in which there yodot davar she'eno poter mi ha-Bechora. There's a false pregnancy. Okay. Now, there's also another problem here, which we don't have in the human, which is v'chol ha-yodot mitanfot. All animals, at least this is what we think it means now, all large animals here that are going to give birth during the day have some show of mucus and so on that they lose in the course of that morning, so that you can be aware of the fact that today they're going to now give birth. Now this animal went out this morning without any signs of an impending birth. So if that's the case, we now have a reyesa in the rope. Israel Aruba. What do you mean, Israel Aruba? The way you just said it is, that's ridiculous. You said, Kol ha-yodot mitanfot. You said any animal that's going to have a delivery is going to have a showing in the morning. And this one didn't. So then it's not a rove. You said it's an absolute. So then if it was been a lotinfa, then it should vana be a bechor. Because obviously it couldn't have been a real child. I mean, you're saying that this was a physiological fact, that any animal that is going to deliver today is going to be showing something in the morning. Sorry, okay, I stand corrected.
So what?
Rov yodot mitanfot, okay? The norm is, I'm not saying everyone, obviously there's still a suffix, but something strange is going on, because once I see already that this animal delivered without any show, then there's an indication to me that we're not dealing with a normal pregnancy. And since anyway I have a miut of animals that would have had a false pregnancy or something that wouldn't have parted from a bechor, I now have to take that very seriously into consideration because of the changed circumstances here and say that I still have a suffix bechor on the next animal to be born. So what? You, president, after learning all of bechores, and remembering what it takes to potter, the whole Mishnah, somebody who buys a new animal and it just became reproductive age, and the whole Shaila, that maybe it was Tinfa, and it was potter, and so on and so forth, and a Shulyan, the whole thing, you should ask that question. Did I scare you out of your question yet? Or should I answer it? No, seriously.
I mean, we're talking about miscarriage. She wouldn't be
maternal. But a miscarriage, remember, potters.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but since there was no signs of
maternity
tinuf, there was no signs
of tinuf. That's an excellent question. So yeah, it's kedai to be attacked, so that you have to be more aggressive. You should have said, you idiot, you're not listening to what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Our president's objection to this whole sugya is that bishlema kol hayodos mitanfos, when it's really time to give birth, that makes sense. But if there's a miscarriage, who's to say that there should be tinuf in the morning? A miscarriage baby doesn't have tinuf, which is an excellent point. Okay, I mean, clearly the Gemara is saying that tinuf is unrelated to the development of the uber. It would be once there's a mucus plug in place, then there's going to have to be some kind of showing earlier, even if it's going to be a miscarriage.
That's the sugi of it's better to ask and share, or else you have your hand over your mouth.
That's right, that's right. Exactly, you're supposed to be aggressive. You know, if you got some guy who makes fun of you, let him.
Would the owner be looking for it at this early stage?
Also a good point. Maybe it's a milsidol or rami le'ayim she'lava daite, Scott is asking. But again, remember that what we're looking for here is the assertion of the suffix. We're not trying to achieve anything other than to say we don't have a right to go according to the rove we normally would. Both of you are giving reasons as to why we shouldn't even view it as a suffix. Nu, ad kedei kach. You're both saying good svaras, but it's not enough to completely remove the suffix from us. Now, what's interesting is, and we finally find, remember this mysterious Gemara where we said, gee, didn't Ravan Kamo say that Rav Yossi had a kasha on this from a brice, and I never understood what it was. We never knew what that was, remember? We just were bedaik before. Doesn't that mean that he had a brice that proved the opposite of that? Anyway, we finally got here. Aren't you excited? Mm-hmm. Wait till you see what it's about, then you're really going to be excited. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So, Yasser Robin, Omar. Moshev Rav Yosef Rav Chanina To'ah V'lo Yadana Mati Yuvta. Now, when Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, he asked the kasha Rav Yeshua ben Levi, who claims that you could certainly assume that a woman who gives birth, it was to a child and not to some ruach, right? He says, I can prove to you that that's not the case. And I'll prove it to you from the famous brisa about a to'ah. Now, a to'ah is a very broad term that refers to a woman who cannot establish where she is at in her complex cycle, and therefore cannot establish when it is that she's getting out of her nidos into her zivos, and so on and so forth. And frankly, I don't know what's bothering him, because it does not seem to be akasha at all, as we'll see. Now let's just review for a moment the issues that we would have to consider in order to make certain that this woman knows what is happening to her. She has one of these miscarriages. She doesn't know whether it was a real vlad, it wasn't a vlad, a male, a female. What's more, she has not been paying attention at all to her reproductive cycle. Maybe she was bleeding before the delivery, and there was a hafsakah, so she wasn't called a yoledes out of koshi. Remember that 3 days of labor pains that cause bleeding and so on before a birth are not tummy as zivas. She doesn't remember. I don't know, maybe there was more than, maybe there was 6 days. I don't know. Maybe there was a day in between where the pain stopped. I don't know. I don't remember anything. Okay, so now she might also be a zava, because maybe she saw 3 days prior to the delivery. That's called, let's get the introduction. That's called a yoledes bizov. Okay. What goes into her problems over here? She shows up. She comes to our door at the Beis Din. She says, gentlemen, I am totally confused and I finally have a boyfriend. You want to set me straight? So we say to her, okay, when did you have this this baby? I don't know. Okay, was it a male, female? I don't know. Are you sure it was a baby? No, didn't look. What'd you do? I flushed it down the toilet. Boy, you're a real winner, we tell her. All right, but nonetheless, here's our question. You may have had a male. You may have had a female. So first of all, yeah, this may have happened yesterday. You're such an idiot, right? Okay, so maybe it happened yesterday. Maybe it happened this morning. I mean, I don't know, you're coming into court. So now, we're going to say, worst case in terms of giving you the tumah of Leila. You had a girl this morning. The next 14 days, you're definitely going to be Tmei'ah. Of course, we can't be sure of that. But that's worst case scenario. Now, so 14 days you're going to be Tameah. Now, the next 7 days you're also going to be Tameah, you see, because maybe you were a Yoledes Bezov. If you're a Yoledes Bezov, you can't become Tahorah during the days that you're Tameah because of a Leda. So you need to keep another Shivas Nekiim. So 21 days you can forget about it. You're definitely going to have to be Machmir Tameah. Now, you want to know what comes afterwards? You shouldn't have asked. Because here, and this we should learn the Brisa, we've got an additional few complications. Let's think of those complications. First of all, there are shitas that hold, and Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel happen to belong to those shitas, both of them, that tefillah bizmanam mitzvah, meaning that you should go to the mikveh on a day where you're supposed to. Because after all, this is the way the Achronim understand it, after all, the Torah was makbid on counts. This Sofra law, this is you're supposed to keep a certain number of days of Tumah. The fact that you're misupeket, and you don't know, you lost count, that doesn't excuse you from going to the mikveh on a time where maybe this was the correct time to go to the mikveh. Because even though that mikveh is not going to make any difference to you, because you're still misupeket of some other source of Tumah, but on the side that it was the right day to go to the mikveh, you have to go to the mikveh. Interesting, I love. Okay? So we can have a case where a woman could be Tumah for months and be going to the mikveh every single day, because maybe today was the day she was supposed to go to the mikveh. That's one issue we have to consider. Another issue. A woman who is a Zava, who is keeping Shivat Nekiyim, she can actually go to the mikveh on the seventh day, because she becomes now really Torah on the seventh day in the morning, if she goes to the mikveh, as long as she does not see any more dam through the end of the seventh day. In which case, if you hold tefillah bizmana mitzvah, she'd have to go to the mikveh in the morning. Now, in addition to that, we have another problem. The other problem is that when we give a woman Yemei Tohar, so let's say she's got 40 days or 80 days of the Nekeva in which she's Tahora. She's Tahora, but she's a Tfulat Yom. She can't eat Truma. She's what is known as a Tfulat Yom Aroch. This is a very long day. It's 80 days long. She's actually living on Jupiter. So basically, that's the whole thing. Men are from Mars. Women, you know, that whole business. The question is, how long is her day? That's the issue. So now, if you hold that at the end of a Tfulas Yom, before you go in to eat Truma, it's been such a long time, you should go to the mikveh again. Now, of course, those 80 days could be ending any day now. Today, tomorrow, the next day. As a matter of fact, for the next 80 days, we'd have to worry about maybe tonight's the night. But of course, I can't eat truma anyway. Yeah, that doesn't matter. Remember the good old tefillah bizmana mitzvah. So we hope you have a lot of good skin lotion, because you've been going to the mikveh an awful lot of times. So here's what's going to happen. Detail. Isha sheyatzta mele'ah uba'arei kanin. Now this woman definitely was pregnant at one point. And she comes in and she's definitely not pregnant. Now something has happened. Now what happens is, from the time that she came to our Besdin and we've taken charge of her to find out what is going on with her, she had 3 weeks in which she was totally tahar, and that includes the day that she came, okay, which really should be a problem. We'll address it later on. And we're calling these now 3 weeks, of Tahira. And that was followed by another 10 weeks. Every one of those weeks was different than every other. She started off with seeing blood all the first week. Then had no dam at all the second week. Then had Re'iyah the entire third week. Then had no dam the fourth week. Then add Rigi all day, all week long, in the fifth week, etc., etc. Now you're going to see why we're creating this mad case. Okay? Basically, we are trying to create a laboratory situation that brings out all the mad possibilities of the various shitos here. And you'll see, well, right now it seems very esoteric. Once you get the halacha straight, you'll see very clearly what it is we're trying to create here. Just to give it to you in a nutshell, Richard, just to give it to you in a nutshell, what we really want to get into here is the maximum possibilities of confusion, granted that she may have had a female on the day before, the 2 weeks before she showed up here. In other words, that on the day that she came here, she's already in the beginning of her Yemei Tahara. Okay?
Day 15.
Yeah. Or day one from the later. In other words, the maximum amount of time that we're gonna have to worry about her tefillas and stuff like that is 80 days. 80 days for the Nekeva. So assuming that she had a Nekeva this morning, that's one way of looking at it. Assuming she had a Nekeva 79 days ago is another way of looking at it, right? But the point is that maximum time of the 80 days is why we want all of these weeks, you see, because we're trying to cover enough weeks that are going to give us the full range of sfeikas to enjoy the possible tefillas of her maximal. Now, the truth is that this is more than the number of required weeks, because we have 3 weeks plus 10 weeks. 3 weeks plus 10 weeks is more than 80 days. But just to keep it by weeks, since we would have had 12 and a half, we go up to 13. Okay. That's the reason why we make the case to extend over all of this time. Now, here's what happens. Mishameshet li'or shloshim v'chamesh. She can sleep with her husband here on the night of the 35th day. Well, at least she gets one day. We're going to go through all of this. We make sure she goes to the mikveh 95 times. 95 tefillot, says Beit Hillel. Nah, you don't need that many tefillot. All you need is 35 tefillot. So Beit Hillel omrim 35. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says, look, there's no such thing as tefillah bizmanam mitzvah. You go to the mikvah when you're going to become tor, and not because you go to the mikvah because maybe you could have been tor if you would have known. And therefore, let her go to the mikvah at the end when she's ready to be tor. Daya l'tefillah sh'tei b'achrona. Now, here is the question, before we get into how this all happens. Let's take the simplest form of the data here and show why it seems to be a kasha on the shita that we just had, that a woman definitely had a child. Right? That's how we started this whole thing, that he was being motzei on Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi from this case. I don't understand what the question is. Okay, but I mean, what is the question supposed to be? Here's what the question is supposed to be. And the Gemara is going to explain it very simply. Now, this is the question. Bishlema Shavua Rishon. Now, why can she not sleep with anybody the first week? Okay, I know why. She can't sleep with anybody because maybe she had a child this morning and she was a Yoleda Zohar and she's going to be Tmeya for the whole week. Okay? Fine. So she's Tmeya 7 days. The next week, Shavua Sheni, she cannot sleep with anyone the second week either. Maybe she had a Nekeva. Okay? Shavua Shalishi. I can even explain to you why the whole third week she can't sleep with anybody. Because maybe she was a Yoledes Beziva, right? And she had 3 days of bleeding that weren't associated with the delivery beforehand. So we got to worry about that because this woman is totally out of her mind. She doesn't know what happened to her. So therefore, I'm going to say maybe she was Yoledes in the Keva Bizov. And now she needs Shiva Tzvikim. Okay, all this I understand, okay? I don't understand the fourth week. You're telling me the fourth week She still can't sleep with anybody. Now, why is that?
Meaning day 22 to 21.
Yeah, right, her 3 weeks are over now. 22, she's not seeing anybody. Right? So why is this fourth week a problem? You're saying she's bleeding even, okay? You're saying there were 10 weeks. Echatami vechatar. But according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, if she had a baby, then she definitely had a baby, and that's something that wasn't going to give her Yemei Tohar, so she should have Yemei Tohar. So how come she can't sleep with someone during that fourth week? So Afa gav dekachaz yadam. As a matter of fact, even if she's bleeding, she should be able to sleep with this guy. The hadam tohoru. It's got to be. And we're afraid maybe she didn't have really a fetus. Maybe it was something else. And she's not really a yoledes. So lav mishum delo azvino basaruba. Does that not prove to you that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is wrong? And we don't make a natural assumption. Well, most women have a fetus that's going to give them a din of leida. Apparently we don't. Hey, yeah, you know, that sounds pretty reasonable. So why isn't that a question? So Elamai lo yadana mai tiyufta. Why are you saying you don't know what the question is? For God's sake. Of course I don't know what the question is. The whole point over here is that we have no idea when she had this baby. There's no other way, by the way, to understand the brides, as we're going to see. We have no right to assume she had the baby this morning. Maybe she had the baby 2 months ago. Because we don't know anything. How can we give her Yemei Tohar when perhaps her Yemei Tohar were completed the moment she walked in here? Maybe that was the last day of her Yemei Tohar.
So now the bleeding could be...
Now the bleeding could be just totally postpartum, 81st day plus. So I don't understand what he was thinking. What kind of kasha is this? Why is he asking this kasha? So Elamai lo yadana mighty yufta. Why do you say you don't understand the question? What do you mean, why don't I understand the question? Because the whole point of the price is Eimer hirchika leidata. Maybe it's been a long time since she had that baby. Now Tosfos is really disturbed by this, because the truth is, as we're going to see, this price makes absolutely no sense. Unless you're taking into consideration that Hirchita Leidata, that you can't even read the brides. There's no reason for her to be doing all of these tefillot unless each one of these days might have been the end of her Yemei Tohar. So how in the world could someone intelligent have read through the brisa and asked it as a question to prove against Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, when even a 5-year-old would understand that the brisa can't be a question of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? What exactly is it talking about? Tosfos says, I know, what does it mean? How could Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina have asked such a question? So the Ran says that his question gufa is because of these sveikas. In other words, he's pointing out that, look, apparently the Gemara is willing to entertain the craziest things. In other words, the Gemara is willing to entertain the fact that the woman who shows up today is so confused that it might have been 80 days since she gave birth. Is that reasonable? Because we have all of these fakers, but these fakers are really not all that reasonable fakers, that she showed up today and she's vaguely remembering. Yeah, I don't remember. I mean, yeah, it could have been this morning. I don't know. Maybe it was last week. Maybe it was last year sometime. I mean, what kind of business is that? So once the Gemara is ready to entertain every possibility, so isn't it clear that it's entertaining this possibility as well? That maybe it wasn't even a vlog. Okay, that's a pretty shvach kind of kasha to ask. But so really, I mean, there's other Rishonim that say, well, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina was just throwing it out. He wasn't Mayan in it. And so it's unbelievable. But definitely there's a problem here as to what we thought the question was. Now that we understand what we thought the question was, is that clear to everybody? What we thought the question was? Why it is that this woman was not allowed to sleep with this guy in the weeks that should have been Yemei Tohar weeks? That was the question. And we assumed that the reason was because there weren't any Yemei Tohar weeks. Maybe she never had a baby. And then we said, no, the reason is because the Yemei Tohar weeks might have ended on the day that she showed up here. That's the reason. Okay, that's simple, right? Okay, now let's get back to understanding the bride. So why did she go to the mikvah 95 times? What exactly was happening over here? It sounds complicated, but the truth is it's really very simple. Once we understand the yesodot that we understood, that we introduced, we'll see that we can simply zip right through this without any problem, right? You got it? There it was. Okay, tomorrow we'll see you in I gather you're not, you don't have that to zip unlocking for this file. No, but we really can. We really can. It's not a problem. Let's take a look, says the Gemara, and analyze what happens now the next week. Hakshavua Kamishi. Now, let's get to the fifth week, okay? The first 3 weeks, we understand, she definitely couldn't have been Mishamish. She was maybe a Yoledis Nekeva. That takes care of 2 weeks. She was maybe a Yoledis Nekeva Beziva. That takes care of week three. She's, she's bleeding week four, and she may not have Yemei Tohar. So that takes care of week four. Now we're into week five, okay? This woman is no longer bleeding. How come she can't sleep with anybody now? So, Shavua Chamishi Yitoharu Tishamesh. Uh-huh. Why Tishamesh? Well, because even if she was a neither, 7 days are up, she went to the mikvah, and now she's not bleeding. Why can't she sleep with whoever she wants? Ah, because you're not taking into consideration what might have been her state in the Shavua Revi. Hak Shavua Revi, the fourth week, where she was bleeding every day. Do you know what her status was? No. Do you know whether the first day of the week was the first day of her nidos? Or perhaps it was the last day of her Yemei Tohar? You don't know. Do you know whether maybe the last day of the week was day 81 from the time of delivery? The first day of her nidos. Oh, well, that's interesting. Yeah, because if it was the first day of her nidos, then she's going to require another 7 days to end her nidos. You're taking for granted that because she started seeing Dom on the fourth week, on Sunday, so by the time the week is ended, she's had her 7 days of nidos. It's nonsense. Every single day that she saw Dom, it might have been the end of her Yemei Tohar. So you don't know what happened. This is the meaning of a Toa. A Toa who doesn't know where she's at, and therefore cannot define the source in the halacha of her Dom. So she's much worse off for being a Toa because she's now going to have to look at every possibility and take the worst case possibility. In this case, the worst case possibility is she just started her nidos on the last day of the week.
Of week four,
right? So therefore, Hak Shavua Revi, Ko Yuma V'Yuma, Misapkina B'Sof Leidah B'Tchilat Nida. You don't have to worry that her nidos just started.
And it was a one-day show.
So yeah, exactly. Okay, fine. So what are you going to say? The essence of Tzman Yagufa, Ema Tchilas Nidahi, Uboi Lamesav, Shiva Lanidasa. So you're saying that now she's going to have to keep 7 days of her Nidas.
That's the first week.
Right? That's what you're saying. Which is the whole next week that she isn't bleeding. Yeah, but wait a second. On the 21st day, what happened on the 21st day? The 21st day, we're saying, maybe she was Yoledes Bezov, right? That's what she said. Maybe she's Yoledes Bezov, and she's keeping her Shivas Nikiim. She hasn't been bleeding. So okay, when does she go to the mikvah when she's keeping her Shivas Nikiim? In the morning. So why can't she go to the mikvah in the morning of the 21st day? Why does she have to wait till the 35th day to sleep with a man? She could go to the mikvah on the morning of the 21st day. She hasn't bled at all. So what's the problem? So why can't she sleep with the guy on the 21st day? Ah, it's going to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, even though technically speaking, yes, that's possible, but asur la'asot ken, you're not supposed to take an advantage of the tefillah on the seventh day of Yemei Tohar, because if you end up seeing blood later in the day after going to the mikvah, then that day is going to be canceled. You're going to have to keep Shivat's Mekiyim, which means that you ended up sleeping with this guy as a Zoma. And we don't allow you to get into that kind of pickle. So instead of relying on your tefillah in the morning of the 21st day, you're still going to have to wait until your vaday tahora. So Shema Tavoli Day is Sofik. Okay. Okay, let's wait till the end of the day. All right? It is now the night of the 29th day. Why can't she sleep with a guy tonight? Why did she have to wait till the 35th day?
The night of the 29th or night of the
21st? Night of the 29th. She kept her days of Tyra. She went to the mikveh in the morning. It wasn't over on Rabbi Shimon's takana. She said, okay, I'll wait till the nighttime. She waits till the nighttime. She still hasn't bled. Now she's going to sleep with her boyfriend. No, she's not. Why not? Because it's talking about that she became Anita that night. When it said that the next week she was Tmeah, who said it means in the daytime? She became Tmeah the ninth. In other words, the minute the night of the 29th, which is the beginning of that fifth week, begins, she's Tmeah. That's what we're trying to get, a case where she's Vaday Tahara without having any of this time in between. It's talking about Kisharah Sabaharah. Okay, so now I understand why she's got to wait till the end of the next period in which she becomes really Tahara. But I'm willing to accept that. Now, what I'd like to understand is how you get 95 tefillahs. That's a challenge. So where do you get Tishim V'chamesh tefillot? I'll tell you, it's actually very simple. Shavua Kama, the first week she comes here, she has to go to the mikveh every single night. Why? Because maybe she was a Yoledet Zachar, and the Yoledet Zachar, maybe the day she came, maybe 2 days before she came, maybe 7 days before she came. I don't know. So therefore, every one of these nights may be the last time in, of her days of Tuma. And since there's a mitzvah to go to the mikveh at the end of the days of Tuma, she should go every night, because tonight may be the end of the days of the Tuma of the Zohar. The Shavua Sheni, same thing happens the second week. So the second week, she definitely hasn't had a baby since she came here. Ah! But what if she had a female before she came here? You have to worry about that. So, okay, the second week, also, every single night she's got to go to the mikveh, because maybe she was a Yoledes Nekeva. Now, the problem is, that's just 14. Ah, but you forgot that she also has to go to the mikveh every single day in the second week. Because if she had given birth to a Zohar, and now this is the second week already from the Leda, the only reason that she's Tmeah now is because we have a suffix of Zimas. So maybe she was a Yoledes Zohar Bezov. But Yoledes Zohar Bezov, remember, demands from us that the tefillah takes place in the morning of the seventh day. Okay, so every single day of this week may be the seventh day. Because, I mean, we may have started counting those days of Tyre from the day she came. So therefore, every single day of the second week, she's going to also have to go to the mikveh in the morning.
And in the evening.
And in the evening. We already said the evening. Yes. Yeah. So then... The Yamama, maybe she's here, let us offer Bezov, okay? On the third week, what happens? Well, on the third week, she also has to go to the mikveh every single morning. Because maybe she was here, let us Nekeva Bezov, in which case her Shivas Nekiim began a week later. So now every single day may be the day of her Shivas Nekiim here, of her Zivas from her Leda of Nekeva, okay? But why does she have to go to the mikveh at night? Well, she has to go to the mikveh at night. I'll tell you why. Because Bileilusa, this is Beit Shammai L'Tamayu. Beit Shammai L'Shitato holds that Tfulat Yom Aroch Bo'ui Tfilah. That any Tfulas Yom Aroch, and remember that she may have a very long day, 80 days, but every single night may be the 80th day, the night of the 81st day. And she's got to go to the mikvah on any night that may be the night of the 81st day. Which means she, Vadai, is going to have to go to the mikvah every night anyway. Of any day that may be her additional Yemei Tahara. Right? The end of her Yemei Tahara. Now, Let's add these all up and see if we end up with our 95.
Sounds like
70
twice a day.
No. The twice was only when you have to worry about the morning.
35 days, isn't it?
35 days. Sorry.
Her first 3 weeks, what do we have? Her first 3 weeks we have...
What age?
Well, first of all, we start off with a night time, for sure. Okay. So that gives us the 3 times 7, is the 21.
Right.
We also have the week 2, which may have been a tefillah in the day, because she was maybe a Yoleda Zofer Bezov, gives us another 7, 4 times 7. And then we have 5 times 7 for week 4, because maybe she was a Yoledes Nekeva Bezov. That's very simple. 5 times 7 is 35 tefillahs, which is exactly what Bezov said. 35 tefillahs. That adds up. Why do we need all these other tefillahs? Because every single night, additionally, may have been the conclusion of her Yemei Torah. Right? Okay, so let's think about this now. We're giving her anyway 14 days of Tuma. So what's the maximum number of days that are left? She's been your service for Nekeva. 66 days. 66 additional days, right? Okay, so says the Gemara. Now, Michte. Yemei Tahara Kamehavi. How many Yemei Tahar do we give her now? Shitin Vashita, 66. Now, obviously, she was already Yotze some of these days in the first weeks. Okay? So now, Dal Shavua Shlishi. The third week. Remember, we started her now on her Tyra, starting from the day she arrives. Okay? So now, the first 14 days, okay, that we're giving her Yemei Tuma. She's going to the mikveh anyway those days. The third week, we already included now the tefillahs of the third week. We had 7 times 3 for the 3 weeks at night, and then we had an additional 2 sevens to include the tefillahs in the daytime of Sheni and Shlishi, right? And obviously we're not going to add them again, okay? So out of the 66, please take off week 3, which was part of the 66 days that followed the 14 days of the Leah Nekeva, correct? Okay, thank you. 66 minus 7 gives you what? 59, brilliant. 59 plus 35 gives you what? Uh-oh. 94. But you said
95.
Well, one more.
Round it off.
So now, Dal Shavua Shlishi. Let's take off the third word, the third week. Yeah, Belinu Lo. We gave her an amigda anyway in the third week. We included that now. Okay. So Pashalu Shitin Chicha. Now you're left with 60 minus 1. It's 59. Okay. Now, last I heard, Shitin Chicha Da V'Tlatzim Chamisha equals Tishim V'Arba'ala. How did you come up with 95? Boy, you're off the wall. It's nothing like 95. It's 94. And we're going to hang on that wall till tomorrow.
Says the Gematria, you can always go one.
I said, if you would comment on the Kaddish for your site and check it out.
Was it plus 33 and 14?
Sorry?